Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today's Thursday, the day we try to live out and apply what we've been learning this week. This week's been about pioneer pain, how the very first followers of Jesus sometimes chose to endure pain for the cause of their message, for the good news of Jesus Christ. We explored the story of Stephen this week, about 2,000 years ago, recorded in the book of Acts. But this kind of thing still happens today. Just one fascinating story I just heard about was of a man who became a Christian after a background in Islam. He was baptized as a follower of Jesus at a Presbyterian church in Oklahoma. And at least according to the court documents that I read have been submitted, he asked for it to be a private baptism, concerned about what would happen if he tried to visit his native Syria as a Christian. Well, in the end, the church actually posted on their website a celebratory message about his baptism. And he believes that was why, when he returned to Syria, he was attacked, tortured, and he thought he was actually going to die for his beliefs. This is all disputed because he's now sued that Presbyterian church for publishing the details of his baptism when he had asked them not to. And the church disputes that, so I don't know, you know, who's telling the truth and who's not. But what is a matter of record is that he was tortured, nearly killed, and at least arrested for his beliefs as a Christian, for converting in the first place. A former Archbishop of Canterbury, former leader of the Anglican Church worldwide, has actually made a request of Muslim leaders that they would recant this doctrine that no one can ever convert from Islam to Christianity. It's becoming a problem. You maybe heard the story about a woman who was arrested and was going to be executed for having converted to Christianity as well. There are still these kinds of lynch mobs attacking Christians for their beliefs in the world today, not just 2,000 years ago with Stephen. We may not think our faith is offensive to anybody, but when we actually read the details of who Jesus is and what he stands for, and as we see early Christians declaring that for the first time, we can see just how much resistance there can be to the Christian message. If we ever find ourselves in that kind of situation, like Stephen, we have an opportunity to point to Jesus. It's what Stephen did. When he was under attack for having become a follower of Jesus and speaking publicly about it, he was able to point to Jesus. He was able to forgive those who were tormenting him, just like Jesus had. When people looked at that, they would have been reminded of what Jesus had stood for, and they would have seen a sincere follower of Jesus doing exactly what he claimed he was going to do, following Jesus even to the death. They would have seen him living out Jesus' words from his life and his actions at his time of death in front of their very eyes. They would have seen the sincerity of this Christian movement, that it wasn't just a fair weather thing, but it was something that people were believing in with their heart, soul, mind, and strength, even under attack. Now there's an interesting little line that says, the people who were attacking Stephen laid their coats at the feet of a man named Saul. And this might seem like kind of just a throwaway little detail. I joked earlier that when a new character like Stephen is introduced, it may be because he's about to get killed off, just like on TV series. But in Saul's case, it's not because he's about to get killed off, it's because he's going to come back and become a key figure in the Christian movement in just a few chapters in the book of Acts. He's mentioned not just because he's the local coat check guy. He's mentioned because he's somebody giving approval to what's happening here. He's somebody who makes his living persecuting Christians. Imagine the profound impact that would have had on him, because later on, he becomes a follower of Jesus. He has an encounter with the risen Jesus. Imagine as he looked back at his life and repented, deciding to follow Jesus, how prominently this event would figure as he remembered what a horrible part he had played in the suppression of the Christian movement. And yet, he could be forgiven. And yet, he could become a key leader in the early Christian church. The fact there's hope for him means there's hope for us as well. When Stephen died, Saul, who later became known as Paul, was watching and learning something about Jesus. There was something special about that event that was worth noting, was worth recording in the Bible. It was worth noting that Saul was there. Something I want you to think about as today's challenge is, who's watching you? As you talk about death, maybe you're planning a funeral, writing a will. We all need to think about death. It's important that we do, because it's inevitable. Even if it makes us uncomfortable, we need to think about it. And as you talk about death, think about death, as you go to somebody else's funeral and you talk to your children, or you talk to your coworkers, what are they learning from your words, from your actions? Are they pointing at Jesus? As you approach your own death or the death of others, how can you point people to Jesus and new life, the resurrection that's found in Him? That's your challenge for today. Find a way to point to Jesus when the topic of death comes up next. We'll have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.